Whoa, got a little feedback to start the show.
Love it. Is it gone? Is it
awesome.
There? Let me see.
I think it's gone.
All right, it's gone.
It's all Hazard's fault.
It wasn't mine.
Hey, he's been bothering me.
Has he really?
Oh, he...
More than usual?
I took up residence the other day.
He did his show yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And he's on my case, like he's always on my case.
Yeah, you know this house, it's too big for you.
I got one word for you, Ron, to combat that with.
What?
Mice.
Yeah.
Hazard texted me yesterday. He said he got it. I said, there's more than one, Hazard. Trust me.
There's got to be.
I said, is it a boy or a girl? He said, I don't know. I didn't look. Because if it's a girl, you know there's more.
Oh, yeah. So what's the story on that?
I don't know, but what's with you and the hat?
What?
It's a different kind of hat.
I don't think I've ever seen you wear a hat.
Oh, well, he wears hats all the time.
All the time. All the time. This is my Nautel transmitter hat.
Okay.
Went to the Great Lakes Media Show on Wednesday last.
Oh, and they gave you a new hat.
And one of my friends, who's an engineer, Rick Grisbeck.
Oh, do we meet him? I've heard that name.
His father, Paul, was chief engineer for WTWR back in the day. And
Tower 92. Two.
And then I believe WQRS, but he was around town. So Paul Grisbeck and Rick, his son, he used to work at 96.3 WDVD.
Oh, okay.
So I bumped into him and Ed Trombley and the guys from Munreese.
Man, give yourself about seven bells there.
All right, I'll do that. And I'll talk about it a little bit later.
Okay. I look forward to it.
All right.
I'm excited, Ron.
I hope so.
You're going to allow me to do a giveaway on the show.
Yep.
In a little while.
Details to follow.
Details to follow, but be ready with your transmitting device, because you're going to need our email address to win this prize, and it's a doozy.
The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school boards, superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff. Custodial staff, too, by the way. They listen to the show.
I know.
They want nothing to do with us.
I met them.
Yeah.
Him.
Or the staff of WBFH, its management or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program and ridding his double wide from mice is
Hazard.
If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, we humbly apologize beforehand. We mean no harm and certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. And my gosh, it's a lovely evening.
Mm-hmm.
The sun was out an hour later tonight. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out the back door. So please, don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
There was no pictures anywhere.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, it is Ron, Chuck, and Hazard here, Motor City Static, for March 11th, 2018.
Did you spring forward, Ron?
Yeah.
I think I might have done myself no good.
How so?
Well, do you remember in the spring, I said, I am not going to conform to this. I am not springing forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. So since whenever we sprung forward, my clocks have been an hour ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, there'll be a power outage. I'll just fix them when I come home and they're all blinking. We didn't have any power outages. So my clock, I didn't have to change my clocks, is a good thing.
Cool.
The bad thing is I keep looking at them and thinking I have an hour. Which is going to be very troublesome tomorrow morning.
I can imagine so.
I did, however, realize that I had to fix my alarm clock because I had that set accordingly. So I needed to move that ahead by an hour. So it's confusing, I know.
But you made it through, right?
I did. I was here on time, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. And I got up at the nightstand this morning. It was 5:30, and then I realized it was 6:30.
See?
But I set the grandfather clock 2 days ago because I was just
lazy. Yeah, but you got to do your alarm clock.
Well, I did that this morning, so I'm fine.
And Johnny Jump Ups probably did it yesterday at about 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, you know I did.
He probably reminded everybody via tweet.
I didn't get any reminder from him. Okay. I was talking to him yesterday, as a matter of fact.
A bit of unfinished business.
Uh-oh.
Last Sunday, we had the remote, the Camp Expo.
Yes.
And I alluded to the fact that I got to hold a chicken and pet the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And you did not believe that that actually happened.
Still don't.
Well, Kaylee Brooks, our illustrious general manager, student general manager at the station, she's also involved in some of the farm activities.
Okay.
So she was the one that dragged me over to the Charles L. Bowers School Farm exhibit there, the booth, where they had a live lamb goat or whatever it was. And lamb a chicken. Goat. Yeah, a chicken.
Oh, it was either a lamb or a goat?
Yeah, I don't know. It was cute, adorable little thing. And so,
did it have curly hair or straight hair?
I think it was straight
That's
hair.
That's a goat.
That's a goat? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'm a walking allergy reaction, you know.
You are.
So when anyone ever invites me over to the farm area or near animals, I get petrified.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how this middle-aged body is going to react.
Right.
Cats I avoid at all cost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have experience because there were a couple farms in our family on both sides. And my dad grew up on a farm around Lapeer, Saginaw. By the way, how are those chips? They sound great.
They are really good. They're my favorite wavy chips.
So I know that chickens can be a little bit dirty, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Unclean, unhealthy, whatever. So Kaylee said, I need to go over and talk to Michelle and Jessica at the farm, the farm guides, and hold the chicken. And I did.
I don't believe it.
Well, let me I'll put it up on the website tonight, but I actually have the picture right here. And
Hazard's got experience with chickens.
Well, how so?
Remember his
the dating site? Remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
his kid used to have them.
Yep,
that's right.
He used to have four of them.
I forgot. Yeah.
You look petrified.
No, I'm not petrified. I was sitting there. The photograph makes me look like some kind of a dork because my eyes are turned skyward.
You do not look happy in this picture.
But I was fine. I was fine.
Hazard, did you see this picture yet?
No.
That's fine.
Wow.
I wish I would have had a better expression on my face.
Yeah, no kidding. What was the chicken's name?
I don't know.
Cluck, cluck.
I don't know. But we'll put that up on the website so people can see what it looks like.
I'm proud of you, Ron.
Yeah, thanks. And I guess there's a certain way you have to hold the chicken. You have to put your hand...
You're holding it like a baby.
Yeah, I guess. It just...
The chicken looks more comfortable than you do.
Yeah. And I thought, chicken's got to be disoriented because they're turning it upside down, flipping it around, and they're telling you, no, chickens, they're fine.
It's in a gymnasium, for God's sakes.
Yeah. It's like, what am I doing here? And who's this person holding my underparts? It was an extraordinary experience.
Very nice, Ryan. I'm proud of you.
And I would encourage those of you listening to give the Charles L. Bowers School Farm a call. They have a summer camp program. That's pretty darn cool stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Bloomfield schools got it going on, as they say. Radio, TV, farms,
chickens,
nature center, Bloomin' Tots, Bloomin' Kids. It's a real nice little school district.
And you work there.
Yeah, that's the bonus. On top of all of that, you get to hang out with me. And we're signing up middle school spotlight kids left and right, so we're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe someday we'll have a year-round operation through the summer. I don't know.
Wow.
We'll have to see what's going on. We'll have to see what's in the budget. And, oh, next Saturday, 10 a.m., mm-hmm. at the radio station, mm-hmm. Bloomfield Hills High School,
mm-hmm.
we're going to welcome back Pete Bowers.
Whoa.
The Pete Bowers studio will be dedicated officially 10 o'clock next Saturday.
He's got to be ecstatic.
Yeah, he is. He's coming in from his retirement home on the west side of the state. He's going to hang out with us. And there'll be speeches. There'll be baby kissing. There'll be handshakes. Maybe a couple cigars. Well, wait, no, it's school grounds. You don't do that. Swapping stories. We invited all the alums to come back. Bill Keith from WSDP.
Okay.
General manager down there, Plymouth Kent School, is going to stop by.
Wow.
He told me last Wednesday at the Great Lakes Media Show. He's a good guy. His station won Station of the Year.
No kidding.
His students.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So we're always proud of them. And let's see what else is going on. Alan Maestri coming up on the 18th, along with Eric Ozarzak, if he replies to my email. He was scheduled. Remember, we had that snow mm-hmm. issue a few weeks back. Reschedule them. Alan Maestri will be in. And then Erica will be in class of, I'm 83, Maestri's 84, Ozarzak is 85. And what's so fascinating about Eric?
Hmm.
He was a movie extra.
No kidding.
Yeah, when we had that incursion of Hollywood people here with mm-hmm. the tax breaks.
Right.
He was part of that. He was an extra.
Wow.
So I'd like to find out what that was like mm-hmm. and then see if he has any plans of continuing it.
Rumor has it, our baker extraordinaire over here is going to make a chocolate pound cake for the green room for our guests that week.
Johnny Jump Up?
Johnny Jump Up. Johnny Jump Up's chocolate pound cake.
This portion of Motor City Static brought to you by Johnny Jump Up's gold. What was that? German chocolate golden cake?
No, chocolate pound cake.
Chocolate pound cake. Okay. Speaking of which, all of our regular reindeer games are here.
Indeed.
Big Words with Ron.
Mm-hmm.
This week in rock history.
Music history.
Music history, whatever.
Ooh, here's the big words.
And then, hazard, a guess, topic, candy.
Ooh, I'm good at that.
Candy.
I love candy.
So we've got the German chocolate, well, just chocolate pound cake. Why am I thinking of German chocolate today?
I don't know, you just put the two words together.
You know why? Because I had a German chocolate square earlier this morning.
Did you?
Oh,
sounds
yeah.
good.
I wonder what your diabetes doctor thinks about that.
I don't know. I'm off the charts right now. I got to go in next week and figure out why this white powder is circulating through my system. It's called sugar. It's like there's so much sugar in my system.
Hazard, you did a good job on the words this week.
What am I looking at here?
Big words with Ron. Well, there's four of them, I think.
There's five.
There's five words.
Yeah. Slight humiliation or total annihilation?
Depends on how much studying you've been doing.
75%
annihilation.
75% annihilation.
Pronunciations are pretty easy.
And then on a personal note here, on behalf of Chuck and Hazard, we want to send get well wishes to Mr. Mark Benka, part of this here
yeah.
show. Mark's under the weather. And he's currently at William Beaumont Hospital. So
they should put a brick with his name on it.
No, he's been in and out of the hospital over the past several months, and they still don't know what his issue is.
Hmm.
But I did talk to him and Susanna, his mom, and he's in relatively good spirits.
His vitals
are okay. It's just for some reason certain conditions going on, and they're trying to figure out what it is.
Interesting.
So, Mr. Bank, if you're listening, our thoughts are with you.
Absolutely.
I know how frustrating it can be.
Puka!
Yeah. And if you want, you can venture over to William Beaumont Hospital and just go visit him. He's on the fifth floor, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, look for Benka, B-E-N-K-A.
All right.
All these people show up on Monday, tomorrow morning. Hey,
Puka!
Puka, how you doing? He could use some spirit lifting visitors and whatnot.
Brush up on your Bob Seger history before you go see him. Yeah. He'd like that.
Yes, he would. All right, and oh, and finally, I'm going to repeat these throughout the show. I'm just I have a list of things here. Friday, May 4th, Biffstock.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In what incarnation?
It's just going to be a 12-hour fundraiser.
Okay.
We don't have a show. Couldn't get the theater.
All right.
Still have a little bit of a residual distaste for what happened to us 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was a good show. Just wish we could have put more fannies in the seat, as they say.
Well, it was filled to capacity.
On the stage.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting great feedback from that, which is odd. Even my sister Tracy said I did a great job. She says the favorite part is when you went out in the audience and you did the...
Crowd surfing?
No. When we did the big words with Ron.
Oh, okay.
Apparently people really enjoyed that, so... All right, everything else going okay? What's going on in your neck of
everything
the woods?
Everything that matters.
What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, geez. What do you want to know about? I went to the reptile show yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Met up with my niece and my godson.
Mm-hmm.
I bought 30 eighth-inch crickets. And,
eighth-inch crickets?
Yeah, eighth-inch, otherwise known as pinhead crickets.
That's as
just
big as
out
they
of
get?
The larva stage. Okay. Oh, no, they'll grow.
All right.
And some gecko food.
What is gecko food?
It's made by this company.
What is it? Crushed insects
mixed with powdered fruit.
That sounds like something you could put out.
Stir it with water till it's the consistency of baby food.
And then put it in the microwave.
No. And then you put it in the bottle caps.
Yeah.
And you put it inside the cricket enclosure or the gecko enclosure. And then they eat it.
It's like...
I feed the same thing to the crickets, actually.
Like candy for geckos?
No, it's real food. It's got all kinds of nutrients in it. It's probably, those geckos eat better than I do from a health standpoint. So do the dogs. I mean, I'm sure they'd all love to have hot dogs for dinner every night, but, you know, they're all in better shape than me, that's for sure. But that, what else? Not too much. Still trying to use this gift card I got from Sears. For Christmas.
Get you some Craftsman tools.
I don't need any tools. I need to go to the Sears store. Didn't I tell you this story?
No.
I went a few weeks ago. And I wanted to go get some new shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I looked on the website before I went. And I saw the shoes I wanted on the website. And I went to the Sears store. And they didn't have them. So I said... Well, I'll look around for something else. And I was looking around at spring jackets and some new jeans and that sort of thing. And then the retail anxiety kicked in.
Mm.
And everything started feeling like the walls were closing in on me. So I saw sunlight, made a beeline back to the parking lot. I haven't been able to bring myself to go back since. And I tried using it online,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason it won't take the card number online.
Really?
Yeah.
How much is it, if you mind my asking?
3 digits.
Wow. No, the amount of the gift card?
Yeah.
Wow.
Santa Claus was very good to me.
Yeah. So I could use some vacuum cleaner bags, so you can buy me some.
What kind?
I think they're F&G bags.
Are those the same ones you gave me a while back?
I don't know.
I'll look.
No. I'll get my own. Don't worry.
All right.
I was just trying to be flip, but it didn't work.
And funny.
Yeah. All right, music time here in Motor City Static. We got anything lined up?
I sure do, Ron. You said we could do a giveaway.
Yes. Tell me about that.
So, I think Brian McCarty, formerly of the Trash Brats, sent me this CD when I was doing Sonic Saturdays, and I already had a copy, so I never opened it, but I played the copy that I had.
Mm-hmm. So this is an unopened copy?
Unopened copy.
Well, sealed, as they say.
Of his 2007 release, which is called Love, Forget Me Not. So what's our email address?
MotorCityStatic@gmail.com.
All right. The first email we get to that email address, which is?
MotorCityStatic@gmail.com.
With the word love in the subject line, we'll get this CD that I'm holding in my hands right now.
Hey, we'll even pick up postage.
And well, of course you will. We're going to let Hazard pay for the postage. But,
hey, what's this bill for?
Hey, what up?
Here's a song from that CD. It's called It's Not Stealing on Motor City Static.
Wow, sounds like something my neighbor did when he took that dirt off my driveway. It's not stealing.
I thought maybe, you know, you wouldn't mind.
Yes, I do mind, Don. Do mind.
Is that the king?
Yeah, man. Brian McCarty, It's Not Stealing here on Motor City Static. Ron Chuck Hazard, MotorCityStatic.com, the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend. All weekend. And a big thing happened last week in Chicago, which I'm trying to wrap my mind around to explain what it would be equivalent to here in this market.
Trains?
No, it's radio.
Oh.
But still, it's monumental. Let's say we take the riff and we flip it to religious.
Oh, my.
That happened in Chicago this past week on Friday.
Well, rock and roll is my religion.
Yeah. WLUP FM 98, legendary call letters. If you remember.
The Loop.
Yeah. Steve Dahl, Sky Daniels here in Detroit.
Yeah.
They were at W4. They left. Lee Abrams was the consultant at the time. They flipped WSDM, which was a. I don't know what format it was, but it was an all-female format at one time in the 70s.
All-female?
Yeah, they had all-female air staff. So anyway, they flipped it to rock and roll. And this would have been 1979, 1978. So since then, I mean, it rocked Chicago. It was big. It was big. Steve Dahl, Gary Meyer, Sky Daniels, Mitch Michaels, Patty Hayes was from Detroit.
Sky Daniels, I remember him.
Yeah, you remember him.
Yeah. So he's one of my favorites back then.
So as time goes on, things change. The Loop was on some hard times, and the station was sold to the Educational Media Foundation, at which point it's going to be a translator. Well, it's not a translator, it's a full-time signal, but it's going to be one of the affiliates of the K-Love format.
Oh, my.
So last Friday, they had a kind of a going-away reminiscence, and Steve Dahl did 4 hours of his afternoon WLS show.
Really?
Simulcast on The Loop. And
wow.
He was reminiscing with a lot of the people who were involved with that radio station. And it was a kick. If you have a chance, YouTube, look up Steve Dahl, WLUP. And I'm sure it's in the top trending areas there. There's about four segments of it. And then in later years, in the late 80s, they had Kevin Matthews, Jonathan Brandmeier, Danny Bonaducci, Stephen Gary.
Yeah,
I mean, it was the station.
Bonaducci, I remember him.
He was here for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was at Q95 after Purton left and went to WOMC. Danny Bonaducci was the morning guy at, Q95. And then Mojo took over after Danny left. He's still there, right? Yeah, he's still there. Now it's Channel 955, iHeart Media. So anyway, that was just, I might have some comments about this a little bit later. It's just reflective of what's going on in the world of broadcasting, which really makes me upset. I mean, the big corporations come in. And
I know it does.
I mean, radio needs to be taken back off of life support and made competitive again, and that's not going to happen. So until we get people in there who have a real passion for the business and we get rid of some of these major corporations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was all-out war. You were almost part of that. You were at the tail end of it, right, at Riff.
Yep.
You were there when it was Silver Star or something?
Yeah. I forget. There was a bunch of different owners when I was there.
Sorry. Well, we'll get into that maybe a little bit later.
Okay.
What do you say?
Sure.
All right. Motor City Static, the first segment, is up on the bird, as they say, and done. So we'll be back. We've got all of our reindeer games coming up. This is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Motor City Static here on WBFH Radio, and I'm not so sure if we're on WAHS tonight.
Why?
Because...
What's up with that, Wes?
I don't know. Got some reports here that last night's programming didn't make it to the bird. So I have to trace that. Hazard is giving me this,
What?
Yeah. So there was dance music on WAHS last
night.
That's
not Hazard's show.
Hey, what's all this electronic music stuff? What up with that?
So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, it's weekends. Maybe the computer went glitchy or something like that. But,
Ryan, where did you find these little...
The little sip cups?
I've seen, what was it? Isn't there a brand of, like, tomato juice that's about this Kansas size?
Yeah, there's a lot of tomato. Campbell's, V8. Those are new sippy things. They're trying to market, you know, soft drinks aren't exactly healthy. A lot of sugar in them, so instead of the 12-ounce cans, they give you a 10-ounce can.
I don't know, I think this is only 8.
8-ounce can? What is it? So
7.5 fluid ounces.
Yeah.
Well, I picked those up because...
100 calories per can.
Figured, you know, you don't need to drink a lot of soda.
No.
You're looking out for us, our health.
Just,
all right.
Just a little sip here and there. Remind you of the giveaway. Chuck, remind them.
Oh, yeah. We are giving away a copy of Brian McCarty's Love, Forget Me Not CD, released in 2007. To the first person who emails us at
MotorCityStatic@gmail.com
with the word love in the subject line. Hazard's going to pay for the postage. So if you're overseas, it may be on a very slow boat, but we'll get it to you. We'd prefer if you had a mainland USA mailing address, but, you know, wherever you're listening, we want to know. So we will send it to you, and Johnny Jump Up's going to pay for the postage, so...
And we don't have drone delivery yet.
No. And it's not. It's a real hard copy, unwrapped CD, too. It's not like we're going to send you a coupon for a download or anything. It's a real deal here.
All right.
You with us, Ron?
I'm here.
You there, Ron?
Yep. Next Saturday, Pete Bowers at the studio, 10 a.m.
He's got to be excited.
St. Patrick's Day. Afterwards, we'll probably do a pub crawl. I don't know. And then May 4th, Biffstock. Biffstock, that's our annual fundraiser for WBFH Radio.
You know, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's
Day. I know.
We've got an appearance coming up in April that we're making.
We are?
Yeah.
Where at?
We're going to be at the Crazy Gringo.
Oh, we've got that again for John Kopp.
John Kopp at his Epilepsy Walk Foundation.
That'll be good. I had fun there last year.
Yeah, so it's a Saturday night.
Okay.
We're going to be there again.
Team Jitterbug.
Team Jitterbug, yep.
And I rubbed elbows at the Great Lakes Media Show last Wednesday. It was real nice. Took our students there to participate in the student awards.
Where was this at now?
This was at the Lansing Center in Lansing, Michigan. Michigan Association of Broadcasters Foundation has an annual competition for high school and college audio and TV production students. It's a chance for our youngsters to compete against other schools. And again, I mentioned at the top of the show, congratulations to Bill Keith and the gang over there at WSDP, Plymouth Canton Schools, the park. They walked off with Station of the Year. And Avondale made a respectable appearance.
All right.
And the Biff, we've got 3 first place winners.
All right.
Noah Strang, Sophie Kay, Nick Alberon. And then Nick also picked up an honorable mention, too. So we had 4 award winners on our staff. So, you know, I guess it's a rebuilding year. That's how I will place it. Next year, we're expecting to have more participation. It's a rebuilding year after all because Pete retired and Danielle Tier and the gang are trying to, you know, make sure things work well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't have time for awards. So, award entries. So, but anyway, I hung out with Paul Stewart, class of 12, who was embarking on his solo venture.
Okay.
He's into computer programming, Summit Technologies. So, I've got his business card. He's a friend of the Biff.
Did he say, hey, Uncle Ron?
Well, yeah. Yeah, hung out at his booth. And then the Enco people, Sean Abraham, was there manning that booth. So okay. I already talked about hanging out with Rick Grisbeck. And Steve Schramm from Michigan Radio, friend of the Biff, wanted to know when he could stop by and inspect the things. So he's on his way. Let's see, who else did I miss? That was pretty much it. Had a couple nice seminars. Had a seminar on fake news that I sat through.
Nice.
And let's see, what else? Oh, I'm being a program director. I went to that one, too.
Okay.
That's fascinating. I think things are over-researched now to the point in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to my comments about WLUP.
Right.
Back in the day, things were very competitive. It was guerrilla programming. You would take your bumper stickers and mugs and you'd go to a competitor's concert venue and you'd start handing that stuff out in the parking lot, you know, up at the Knob and all that stuff.
Oh, I did my fair share of bumper sticker pass routing.
And then you would counter program your crosstown rival, Wheels and Riff.
Mm-hmm.
Even before that, when W4 was Rock and WABX. At one time, we had WABX, W4, Wheels, and Riff, right? We had four rock stations in this market. Man.
We did. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Now, what do we got? Everything's iHeartMedia.
I don't know. We got Riff. We've got 106.7.
Yeah, but Riff is not what it once was.
No. I don't know what 106.7 is anymore.
It's alternative now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not bad. I listen to it every once in a while.
Mm. I've been reading some of the chat boards, and it's going over well. I guess there was some layoffs at the Bounce.
What's that?
105.1.
Oh.
That would be the Beasley station. That would be the third child.
Man, that came in flames, and then it just kind of sizzled out, huh?
Yeah, because they... I don't know. I'm not a programmer. I'm just a guy who's passionate about radio. And it seems to me they come in with all their hopes when they should just build it slowly.
Yeah.
You know? Because Riff was basically WXYZ-FM back in 1970, 71.
It was.
And ABC was forced to... the FCC didn't want you to simulcast FM and AM, so they split XYZ 1270... It was adult contemporary, and then they went with this underground music on the Riff, you know, corporate rock.
Mm-hmm.
There was four other stations in the ABC chain. They figured, oh, you know what, it's going to be a loss leader. Little did they know, coming out of the summer of love and heading into the early 70s, that this album-oriented rock would take off. And
Bob Seger's Live Bullet.
Oh, yeah. AOR. Although that was Dan Carlisle from W4. He was that their venue at Cobo?
I don't know.
I think Dan Carlisle was at W4 at the time.
Right, but I'm just saying that album.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Everybody wanted to hear Turn the Page.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else that was on that record.
And then, you know, you had the great promotion. Of course, they had money for promotion back then. You had the Pink Flamingos softball team.
Mm-hmm.
And they would show up at every concert, and they would fly people everywhere. Now, all these stations are broadcasting from nondescript buildings in industrial parks. You know?
Yeah.
They're not really making news. They don't really have big personalities like they used to.
Remember when the bands that were on tour used to come out and them and their road crew would play the radio station personnel in a game of softball for charity?
I know.
I went and saw Tesla do that once, actually.
That's cool. But now, in this day and age, do you really want to put your talent at risk? Because you never know what's going to happen at a public venue.
Right.
But... So I miss those days, and that's why when they turned off WLUP, the station's been gone for a while, but you're remembering all of the good times that you had with that station, and radio used to be so personal.
Yeah.
You had a bond with your personalities and the music. It was your station.
Yep.
You put the sticker up in your locker at school and...
Put it on your car.
Yeah.
You had one everywhere.
But now it's just like, eh. They're all on Spotify, or they're streaming something on the radio. And going back to the Great Lakes Media Show in the programming seminar, the thesis was, you know, radio's going to be here. It's going to be here. It's like the cockroach. Nothing can kill it. They thought CDs would kill it. They thought the Walkman would kill it. They thought, you know, this energized dashboard stuff will kill it.
The iPod.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. I don't think it. I don't, you know, the only thing that's killing radio is corporate ownership. And it's not that I'm against corporate ownership. Just corporations have too much concentration of their stations. Right?
I guess.
Instead of your competition being across 8 Mile, your competition's next door. And then you're flanking your demo. You know, if you're country, your sister station next door is going to be classic country. That way you've got the whole pie.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think people are getting tired of me pontificating about radio.
Hazard was ready to pull his permit out.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have a permit for this soapbox?
But, you know, that's why we do the show. Because it's fun, it's radio, it's conversation. You may not agree with it. We play some good music from time to time. We have lively discussion. You don't have that on radio because the consultants are saying, oh, you can only talk for 2 minutes before people's eyes roll into the back of their head. Like they're doing now because I'm talking about radio. So next half hour, I'm going to talk about trains. Is that okay?
Okay.
Our music time.
Is it time for music or is it time for...
Oh, did I forget that?
You did.
You know why?
I'm all ready. I can do whichever you want. But we can tell people why you're looking for the sounder that...
All right, I got it.
We are doing our first ever giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
First person to email us at...
MotorCityStatic@gmail.com.
With the word love in the subject line, we'll receive a copy. We've only got one, so it's only the first person of Brian McCarty's Love Forget Me Not CD, released in 2007. Still in the cellophane.
It's virgin.
I have an extra copy.
There you go.
Let's share it with the world.
All right. Completely forgot what time it was. Sorry about that. What time is it?
Yeah. It's time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Rippenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
Well, you'd be very happy to know that one of Hazard's all-time favorites, Kate Bush, released her debut single in 1978, Wuthering Heights, a song inspired by the Emily Bronte novel, started a 4-week run at number one on the UK singles chart. Record company EMI had originally chosen another track, James and the Cold Gun, as the lead single, but Bush was determined that Wuthering Heights would be the first release from the album. In 1993, Oasis recorded their first demos at the Real People Studio in Liverpool. The set included Rock and Roll Star, Columbia, and Fade Away. In 2005, another one of Hazard's favorites, Ozzy Osbourne's childhood home Front Door, from where he grew up in Birmingham, England, went up for sale because the current owner was fed up with fans defacing it.
Yeah.
Ali Mubarak, who now owned the house in Lodge Road, Aston, said over the years it had become a pilgrimage destination. He was now auctioning the door on eBay and giving the money to charity.
So what is he going to do? A replacement door is going to be installed, right?
Well, it happened in 2005, so hopefully the replacement door has already been installed.
Yeah, but... aren't they defacing that?
You would think they're not gonna know. They might even.
I mean, you're in the house. The house itself is going to be a target for this for tourists.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry.
But anyway, and in 2016, English musician Keith Emerson died in Santa Monica, California, of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head.
Yeah.
After he had become depressed, nervous, and anxious. Because nerve damages in his hands had hampered his playing. Emerson found his first commercial success with The Nice in the late 1960s and was a founding member of Emerson, Lake & Palmer, ELP, one of the early progressive rock supergroups. So, Ron?
Yes.
Hazard? Let's take a listen to some Ozzy Osbourne with his band Black Sabbath here on Motor City Static.
Black Sabbath, live forever here on Motor City Static. I don't want to live forever, but I don't want to die either.
Right.
That's why I'm working on my health. Make sure everything's okay, and I hope you are working on your health, too.
Not as hard as some people would like me to.
Well, we all need to work on that.
He says as he eats potato chips and dip.
This according
chases it with Pepsi.
This according to FastCompany.com, chances are you're spending 24% less time on Facebook. According to Nielsen numbers through November of last year, interpreted by Pivotal, whatever Pivotal is, the social network lost about 4% in aggregated time spent. Now, new numbers have been released that go through December, and the problem only seems to be getting worse. The updated data shows that Facebook's core platform lost 18% in time spent, which is a huge change from the month before. This, says Pivotal, reflects a 24% decline in time spent per person. Instagram, too, saw some poor engagement numbers. Though aggregated consumption went up, the user base went up at a higher clip, meaning that time per person went down 9%. Overall, this shows a mounting problem for Facebook and social media. People are just engaging less with it. Algorithm changes may have something to do with it, and Zuckerberg even told shareholders to expect such a change. But these numbers could also indicate that people are becoming more fatigued by the platform. It makes sense to me. I think people are getting bored with it.
I think so, too. I know I am.
What can you do with social media other than be a self-promoter? You know?
That's pretty much what it's all about.
And I remember sitting, you know, going back to these seminars, I remember years ago, they're telling me social media is the place to be. And in some respects, it is. But it's like eye candy. You can't sustain it. That's why I think radio will continue to do what it does, entertain people.
Mm-hmm. And made Zuckerman millions, or Zuckerberg.
Yeah. But then, what's the next big thing after that? Maybe it would be old technology. Maybe AM radio will come back. What are you laughing at?
You're dreaming, Ron.
Well, we had a discussion among some of my colleagues, and the Generation Z, I guess the new one.
Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know what it is. See, I can't keep...
Yeah, Generation Z, yeah.
I can't keep ahead of all this stuff. They're the first generation that has not known social media.
Really?
I mean, it's ubiquitous. It's been there. It's always been there for them. So they're taking it for granted. So they're looking for new things, and the new things they're looking for are the old things we grew up with, like vinyl records.
They're going crazy.
Yeah.
Vinyl records are.
Who would have thunk?
Not me. I never believed that.
So, you know, and the kids, they're fickle. They started with Facebook, then they moved on to Instagram and Snapchat now, and what's the new one? I can't keep up.
It was MySpace originally, remember?
Yeah, way before that was MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
Things just change.
They do.
So, next Saturday, we're going to hang out with Pete Powers at WBFH Studios. The Pete Powers studio will be dedicated. Rob Glass, our superintendent, will be there. Charlie Hollerith, our principal, will be there. Paul Colin, who is the vice president of our school board, will be there.
Wow.
Bill Keith from WSTP, Plymouth Canton, says he will be there. I will be there. They need someone to set up the chairs and the sound system. That's why I'm there.
Is that what it is?
And we're going to celebrate the career of Pete Powers. We had a nice send-off for him last year around this time, more like May of last year. So there's not much we can say other than we miss him. And we're going to dedicate the studio. And I think at the top of every hour at the station ID, we're going to do something like, from the Pete Powers Studios, somewhere near Bagley's Corner, the award-winning WBFH Bloomfield Hills.
I noticed you got a new Facebook profile picture.
Yeah, that was taken over at the Great Lakes Media Show. You like that?
Well, Hazard, who did you say his old Facebook picture made him look like before? You remember?
Udo Dirkschneider.
Yeah. Udo Dirkschneider. Now, who does he look like there?
Oh, my God. He looks like Grandpa Somebody.
No, Les Nessman. Doesn't he look like Les Nessman?
I look like Nick.
With a few pounds on him, yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to lose those pounds.
Did you get Buckeye
News Hawk Award?
Yeah.
The turkeys are going everywhere. People are going crazy.
Oh, the humanity. So you like that? You like the glasses? I'm getting good feedback in the glasses.
Yeah, they look nice. And yeah, I'm jealous. We always get new glasses about the same time, and yours always look better on you than mine do on me.
Oh, do you want to borrow mine?
No. Right. I'm just going to let you go get my pick out my new glasses next time.
Okay. We can do that. All right. Big Words with Ron's coming up.
Oh, they're doozies, too.
Last week, I didn't do so well.
No.
And this week, you know, a lot of people follow the show.
Uh-huh, because they want to get educated.
Yeah, they may not reach out and email us all the time, but whenever I'm passing some...
When you see them on the street, they'll shout out a big word at you, won't they?
Yeah. And usually I'm embarrassed because I don't know that word, but it's good. It's a good little bit. People like it. Big Words with Ron's coming up.
Thanks. I know the producer that came up with that idea.
And and then... Hazard a guess, the subject will be candy.
I'm glad, because I love me some candy.
We're getting close to the Easter season here. Mm-hmm. Got a couple weeks to go. The chocolate bunnies are all stacked up in the supermarket.
I've seen that. Mm-hmm. I saw the Peeps out the other day when I was there. And I never was a big fan of the Peeps.
Nah, I'm not either. I had an ex-girlfriend who just loved the Peeps.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're holding a chicken.
Yeah, I am.
It's kind of Eastery.
It's my Peep.
Peep the chicken.
I'm going to put that.
Do you want a chicken?
Yeah, I'm going to.
I saw chickens yesterday at the reptile show. I could have got you one if I known you wanted one.
No, I don't think so. The picture of my holding that chicken is kind of look like a goober.
Can you have chickens in your hometown?
I think you're allowed one or two.
Now, usually, you're allowed more than one. I know Hazard. How many did your boy have?
Four.
Four. Took over Hazard's shed. He was so unhappy. He turned Hazard's shed into a chicken coop. He was angry. You can pull a little chicken coop out behind your back, behind your garage, Ron.
Yeah, I could. Could
raise
I?
Some chickens, get fresh eggs.
Yeah, I could do that.
You have to keep your pet cats out of there, though, or those other things, the skunks,
possum, skunks, squirrels. Oh yeah. My. We got them over here, all over the place. So, which reminds me, I got to start working on the yard. It's getting warmer.
No, don't push it. You have plenty of time. I don't, for the life of me. This is one of the things that boggles my mind.
What's that?
Why do people spend their entire summer fixing up their yard every year?
Gives them something to do.
Is that it is?
Yeah.
Okay, I must have other things to do then.
Little dirt under the fingernails, communing with
nature. I can see growing some tomatoes or whatever, some plants in your garden. But some people just go, can I say hog nuts on the radio?
I just did.
About their yards, and then, you know, pretty soon they're getting the snowblower ready.
Yeah, I know. All right, show's half over, hard to believe. Motor City Static will return on the Biff Radio Network after these messages. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. We have a website, by the way, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. If you go there, you might see a picture of me holding a chicken.
That'd be so fun. Ron, just the look on your face is worth the time it takes in typing in
what up with that?
MotorCityStatic.com.
What am I doing to the chicken? This is the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend.
What do they do with the eggs from the chickens over there?
They sell them.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Oh, my word.
How many chickens they got over there?
A lot. I don't know. A couple dozen.
So like they set up a roadside stand to sell the eggs?
I think you can go into the farm office and buy them.
Really?
I'll have to ask.
Yeah, do that. I'm curious.
I will do that.
You know, there's nothing better for you than farm fresh eggs.
No, absolutely.
They supposedly taste different.
You know what? I'll text Kaylee while we're in the middle of a song or something, and I'll get the answer for you.
Okay.
Remind me.
All right.
Okay. Well, this from the New York Times, as mobile phone use exploded and the payphone was increasingly linked to crime, the phone booth began to disappear. We all remember that. They were ubiquitous. They were everywhere. Well, at the same time, workplaces saw the rise of an open floor plan. We all saw and heard a proliferation of mobile phones, and with it, the irritating, distracting sound of a one-sided conversation from your cube mate. Lauren Emberson, then a psychology PhD candidate at Cornell University, called it a half a log.
A what?
Half a log instead of a dialogue.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're going shopping and people on their phones. I think that's rude. They're talking. Hey, what do I need? Butter? Eggs? What? As she put it in the publication Psychological Science, quote, I really felt like I couldn't do anything else when someone was on a cell phone. I couldn't read. I couldn't even listen to my music. Now, the phone booth, or at least a variation of it, is making a modest comeback. Who'd have thunk? When the woman-only club and workspace, The Wing, opened its first location in the Flatiron neighborhood of Manhattan in October of 2016. Wait, women-only club? Isn't that discrimination?
Yep.
I want to file a lawsuit. The interior featured marbled tables, pink velvet couches, and one small windowless reflective glass-doored room dubbed the phone booth. 1 year later, when another location of the Wing opened in Soho, 8 built-in glass-doored call rooms were included in the design. How about that? Audrey Gelman, one of the founders of the Wing, explained that the increase in phone booths came as a direct result of member feedback. But these aren't grimy street cubicles or sterile, forbidding isolation chambers. She goes on to say, each room is named after our favorite fictional female characters, like Ramona Quimby, Lieutenant Uhura, and Lisa Simpson. And these rooms provide members with a quiet space for private conversation. Each tiny space is equipped with a power outlet, a shallow shelf, a stool, and a quaint, non-functional but highly Instagrammable retro telephone. How cool is that? 5 new maple-sided portable modular Zen Booth phone booths were installed late last year at the 17th Street headquarters of Gizmodo Media Group. But because approximately 230 employees work out of the GMG headquarters, the booths are frequently occupied by writers and editors looking to make a private call. Thus, the company's facilities manager, Will Sansom, recently ordered 4 additional Zen booths, including 1 2-seater that acts a small standalone meeting room. So phone booths are coming back. You know, people need a place to go.
Interesting.
Some of these phone booths go for $4,000 a piece.
Wow.
There's an executive booth for $16,000.
That's what Hazard needs.
Yeah, the one-person booth is a soundproof, eco-friendly, American-made box that's about 36 inches wide and 34 inches deep, with an insulated glass door, a ventilation fan, power outlets, and a skylight. And it can be assembled in roughly an hour. So, phone booths are coming back. None outside on the street.
No?
No.
But Hazard could go in a phone booth and troll.
Hey. I've been in open offices before, and I hated it, because I don't want anyone to hear my conversation.
Right.
Back when I was trying sales, and I would fail, always. I didn't want my boss to hear what I did.
Right.
And I'm shy that way. I don't want people listening into my conversations.
I understand completely.
So, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, he's ready, folks.
Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard and will be fuddled and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see how Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff, guess, or reckon his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron. Now, from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious MCS studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, Chuck Rivenberg. Love it.
All right, Ron, I hope you're ready.
Hey, before we go into that...
Always putting a stall on.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was propositioned over at the Great Lakes Media Show.
Was it Hazard?
No.
Oh.
One of my former bosses is starting up a voiceover company, and he heard me announcing our Big Words with Ron intro, and he said, hey, I've got some clients that might be interested in having you.
Look at you. It's the 37th year of your overnight success.
That's right, my friend. All right, time for humiliation.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Your first word, Ron, its earliest documented use was in 1826. It is a noun. You have two chances at the definition. It is from the Spanish.
Spanish.
And your word, Ron, is vaquero.
Vaquero?
Va.
The.
Va.
V.
Va, with a V.
Yeah.
Care.
Yeah.
As in, you don't care. Oh. Vaquero.
Oh, you don't care. How do you spell it?
V-A-Q-U-E-R-O.
Vaquero. Vaquero.
1826.
That's and it's a noun.
And it's a noun.
Sounds like a Spanish automobile.
With two definitions in one.
Vaquero. Well, right away, I see the word vanquish. Which probably has nothing to do with that, but right. I just...
Where do you see vanquish in vaquero?
V-A.
Oh, okay.
V-A for vaquero.
Q-U.
Yeah, and vanquish. So there's a V-A, a Q, and that's about it. Vaquero. Or is it vaquero?
No, it's vaquero. Phonetically vaquero.
Well, having never seen this word before, I'm going to have to rely on a sentence from you.
Our steeds need to drink for the day ahead, the vaquero said.
Hmm. So it would be like a... I'm thinking Don Quixote here.
I don't know who Don Quixote is.
Man from La Mancha. Man of La Mancha.
Still does me no good.
All right. So so it's someone who has to deal with animals then.
Correct.
So are you a horse breeder, a horse trainer, a horse like an animal husband?
No.
Caregiver, I'm guessing here.
Yeah, you're getting close.
Like a farmer?
Yeah.
Caregiver. A jockey, a horse rider?
Hazard wants to give it to you, but I'm saying no. You haven't used the correct word.
You want one word.
Well, if you would use the word, or one or two, one or, oh, there's two words that you could use that would give you the bell.
Hmm. So it's, a horse, someone who, a caretaker, a horse lover, someone who is a fan of horses.
Yeah, a vaquero would be a fan of horses.
Like a breeder, horse breeder?
No.
Hmm. Is this does this person ride the horse?
Yes.
I already said jockey, so it's not a jockey.
No.
Not a cowboy. There you go.
A livestock herder.
Mm-hmm.
A cowboy.
There you go.
Very good, Ron. Way to work that one out. Your next word, Ron, is an adjective.
Okay.
It's from the Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Its earliest documented use was 1728. And your word, Ron, is... Azimus.
A-S?
Nope. A-Z-Y.
Oh.
M-O-U-S.
Latin?
Yeah. Hazard, can you give me some volume in my headset monitor, please? I seem to have lost my voice. I don't know. Did Ron bring me down?
No. You're fine. How about now?
I don't hear me.
Don't hear him. I don't hear her.
You hear me, Ron?
Yeah, I hear you perfect.
Well, that's all that matters.
I don't hear you.
No? Did you turn the power off to that thing, maybe?
No. I don't think so. Oh. Looks like so.
How about now?
No, just go. Azimus.
Azimus. A-Z-Y.
Maybe it came unplugged.
A-Z-Y-M-U-S. I'm familiar with the word azimuth.
M-O-U-S.
Yeah. Oh, M-O-U-S.
Mm-hmm.
Azimus. I have no idea. It's got to be a... Is it a mathematical term?
No.
Huh. Having a clue. How about a sentence?
An oval plate stood there with three fine white azimuth loaves placed on a piece of linen.
Repeat that again.
An oval plate stood there with three fine white azimuth loaves placed on a piece of linen.
Well, it looks like an egg or something.
An egg? No.
An egg-shaped...
Nope. No egg.
Nothing?
Mm-mm.
So it's a decoration or something? A rock?
Nope.
Azimuth. I haven't... So are they part of the plate?
No.
Azimuth.
You're very, very far away.
Very far away. That sentence again?
The sentence?
Yeah.
The sentence is, an oval plate stood there with three fine white azimuth loaves placed on a piece of linen. I do believe the azimuth loaves were on a plate and the plate was on the linen in that sentence.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. So I'm thinking you got eggs on a plate.
Nope.
I have no idea. I completely...
Hold up.
Are you giving up? What are you doing, Hazard?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
He's got to look at it.
Why? We're not going to lengthen out this segment so he can get it. The objective is the education of our listeners, not to let Ron get the word. I think we unplugged it or we lost power on the thing or something. Don't worry about it. Concentrate on the words, Ron. Concentrate on the words.
I'm concentrating on
the
words.
Are you giving up on azimuth?
Yeah.
Unleavened. Unfermented.
Really?
Yep. You are far, far away on that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that anyway.
All right, your next word, Ron. You have two chances at the definition.
Okay.
Either as an adjective or a noun. It is from the Latin. And its earliest documented use... was in 1384.
Okay.
Your word, Ron, is vendible.
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 V-E-N-D-I-B-L-E.
Yep.
Vendible.
I'm always concerned you know the word when you know how to spell it.
Well, I'm taking a guess at it. Vendible. I'm thinking here. It's from Latin?
Yes.
Vendi, Vichy, Vendi, whatever that thing is. Vendi.
From Vendere, which is from Venom. V-E-N-U-M.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So Venom means poison.
No, I think Venom, poison is V-E-N-O-M.
Okay, Venom.
This is from the Venom, V-E-N-U-M.
I'm thinking approachable.
Approachable?
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking approachable, vendable. You can walk to it. Vendi?
No.
Is the root, I believe, in that. How about a sentence?
I thought I gave it to you already. Her first book became a bestseller. The Tenth Muse was listed among the vendable books in London soon after it was published.
Well... Vendible. The vendable books, popular?
No.
Really? Like approachable, obtainable?
Not according to the definitions on our paper, on our script.
That sentence again.
As provided by our producer, Mr. Yeah. Jeff Hazard. Her first book became a bestseller. The Tenth Muse was listed among the most vendable books in London soon after it was published.
Well, it's popular, widely circulated, the commendable, liked.
No.
Nothing?
No. Motor City Static is vendable.
Enjoyable?
No.
Popular?
No.
I've said that again.
What?
Fun to listen to, fun to read?
No.
Fun to be around?
No.
I'm going down swinging here.
You are.
All right.
You giving up?
Yeah.
Oh.
As an adjective... It means saleable or marketable.
Oh.
as a noun, it means something that can be sold. Vendable.
Oh.
You know, like if you were to put M&Ms in a little packet, those are vendable.
Say, I was overthinking.
You were, which is part of the fun.
Oh.
All right, so you are what, 1 for 3 so far?
Yeah. Vendable, those, as in that saleable. I feel like an idiot.
For people who are keeping track at home.
Because I went Vendi, which means, well, you know, he came, he saw, he conquered. And all
Ron
that
is
stuff.
1 for 3.
Yeah.
Your next word, Ron, its earliest documented use was in 1556.
Okay.
It is a noun, and it is from, well, we don't know where it's from. It is a noun, and your word is whipjack.
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 Oh, he'll never get that one.
Whipjack.
Whipjack.
That's a whipjack.
Whipjack.
All right, I need a sentence for this one.
Whipjack.
I thought you were in the stocks as a whipjack, Bruce, said my master, hunting through his mantle for a coin.
Repeat that again.
I thought you were in the stocks as a whipjack, Bruce, said my master, hunting through his mantle for a coin.
Well, if you're in the stocks, that means you're up to public ridicule. That's how they punish people. So if you're a whipjack, you're a person that's stuck there in the stocks getting whipped and castigated and humiliated. You're a prisoner.
Oh, I don't know if Ruth would give it to you. I'm tempted to, though.
Like a whipping boy or a,
no,
a whipjack?
No, see, you should have quit while you were ahead.
What?
That's not it. What you just said. No whipping boy.
A whipjack?
No.
Repeat the sentence.
I thought you were in the stocks as a whipjack, Bruce, said my master, hunting through his mantle for a coin.
Yeah, whipjack would be a prisoner.
No.
Not at all?
No.
But I got...
Not incarcerated in any way or detained.
Whipjack. Are you the guy that's doing the whipping?
Nope.
Does whipping involved at all?
No.
No.
But the stocks, I got the stocks part right. Public humiliation, right?
Well, that's where this person would be found if they were to be.
So the person is a whipjack.
Bruce is a whipjack in that sentence, yes.
So he's the guy that's administering the punishments?
No. I thought you were in the stocks as a whipjack, Bruce. This is Bruce speaking the sentence.
Bruce is talking to himself.
Bruce is talking.
All right.
I thought you were in the stocks as a whipjack, Bruce, said my master, hunting through his mantle for a coin.
Huh. I have no idea.
You giving up?
Yeah.
A beggar who pretends to be an out-of-luck sailor.
Ah.
Otherwise known as some of Hazard's friends.
Okay. All right, here's the last one. I'm going down in flames today.
The last one, Ron.
Oh, boy.
You have two chances at the definition as a noun. It's from 1639.
Mm-hmm.
It's Latin. It's going to take me a minute to figure out how to say this one. Expurgifaction. Expurgifaction.
All right, spell that one.
E-X-P-E-R.
Yeah.
G-E-F-A-C-T-I-O-N.
Expurgifaction.
Expurgifaction.
Well, I have never, ever in a million years come across that word.
Kind of sounds like a Mark Twain kind of word, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's made up.
Expurgifaction.
That word is made up. It's not a real word.
1639 from the Latin. It is too.
All right. And it's not expurge, as in to get rid of, because that would be P-U-R-G.
No.
Or expunge, which means to erase.
The listeners of Motor City Static are experiencing an expurgifaction.
Hmm.
That's a good one, huh, Hazard?
Oh, yeah.
What?
That's a good sentence. That's way better than the one they got here.
Yes, it is.
Does it have to do with being an expert on anything?
No.
All right. How about the other sentence?
The one that they gave us?
Yeah.
You're going to like mine better. It was as if the humans' sudden reappearance was an expurgifaction. Their great destructive potential inspired the actions that the prophets had not deemed essential only a few short weeks before.
What?
Motor City Static listeners are experiencing an expurgifaction.
Really?
Oh, I think that should be our sounder right there.
Expurgifaction?
Expurgifaction.
I completely don't know.
It's from the Latin.
Yeah.
1639.
Yeah.
Are you giving up?
I'm giving up.
What are you, 1-for-4 right now?
Yeah, 1-for-5 it'll be.
This is 1-for-5?
Yeah.
Okay, ready for this one, Ron?
Yeah.
The listeners of Motor City Static are experiencing an awakening.
Really?
Or an arousing.
Well.
Awakening or arousing is definition number one. Definition number two is the state of being awakened or aroused.
Speaking of which,
here I'm gonna do this real clear so you can so you can get this out of the tape and make a promo. You ready?
Yeah.
Motor City Static listeners are experiencing an expurgifaction.
Whatever that means.
That means awakening, Ron.
I know. Arousal, yes. Right?
Yeah, being awakened or aroused.
Oh, gracious. Well, not
you gotta play the outro, don't you?
Yeah. One of the great embarrassing.
1-for-5 for those of you keeping track at home.
Vaquero means cowboy. Azimus means unleavened. Vendible means saleable, can be sold. Whipjack is a beggar who pretends to be a sailor. An expurgifaction is an awakening or an arousal. Wow. And that's how we play big.
Play what?
I said that's how we play big words with Ron. Well, that was embarrassing.
Jim Morris Jr.
That's right. Okay, music time.
Sure. You may or may not know, Ron, that this Wednesday, Mr. Hazard and I are going to be out partying on a school night.
Well, there you go.
On a work night.
Yeah.
Our friends in the band Artificial Agent are playing at the Royal Oak Music Theater Wednesday night.
How about that? How about that? Those guys are, they're going to take off here.
Yeah. They are opening a show for guitar legend Michael Schenker. He's been in a lot of bands. So Michael Schenker Group, UFO. Help me out here, Hazard.
UFO, Scorpions.
Scorpions. He's going to be playing some of his hot riffs. Anyway, let's do one from our friends in Artificial Agent. From the Brain Grenade release, this is Master Blaster on Motor City Static.
Motor City Static, Master Blaster.
That's it.
Not to be confused with Stevie Wonder's Master Blaster.
Oh, I didn't know Stevie Wonder had a Master Blaster song.
I thought he did.
I'm really
agent.
Loud. I went from not being able to hear myself to...
Artificial Agent, I fixed that. You had
Deep Purple volume in 1974.
You had unplugged the electrical cord. You kicked it with your foot.
How do you know it was me?
Because it's right next to you.
Oh! That'd be a good indication.
I'm not going to be your whipjack.
No, I would be the whipjack.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
No, I'm not a sailor pretending to be a beggar. Or a beggar pretending to be a sailor.
All right, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Our website, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. And the giveaway for the album, MotorCityStatic@gmail.com, in the subject line, Love.
Love, and you will receive a copy. One copy only, so you're only going to have one winner.
Yep.
Hazard's paying the postage.
All right, we got to go. Motor City Static is back after these messages. On the best radio broadcast you will hear all weekend long. Sadly, this is the last half hour. Goes quick.
Yeah, but we got everybody's other favorite segment coming up, Hazard a Guess.
That's right.
And if people want to win something from Motor City Static, just so happens that I ran across a copy of Brian McCarty's CD, Love, Forget Me Not, that he gave me a while back to give away on the show. And I don't remember if I tried and it didn't work or what happened, but we're going to try to give it away. The first person to send us an email with the words
Love
to
MotorCityStatic@gmail.com
will get this CD. It's an actual hard physical CD copy of the Love Forget Me Not recording, and Hazard's going to pay the postage.
Absolutely.
Maybe I will even, Hazard will, I don't know.
Maybe I'll throw a photo in, a signed photo.
Yeah, signed photo of Hazard.
Hey, what up, dog?
What up?
Yeah, how you doing? All right, Motor City Static, as I mentioned, the podcast of this here broadcast will be on the website along with a picture of me holding a chicken.
That's so awesome.
Hey, what do you call a sleepwalking nun?
What do you call a sleepwalking nun? I haven't a clue.
A Roman Catholic.
It's not bad, Hazard.
Speaking of nuns.
Sister Mary, what's her name?
Yeah, I don't have a nun story. I just wanted to say that. Expurgifaction will be taking place during Hazard a Guess. One of the questions.
Very good, Ron.
Has to deal with expurgifaction.
Wait, I thought we were talking about candy bars.
We are.
Candy.
Right, so one of the candies has to do with...
Expurgifaction?
Expurgifaction.
No kidding. Yeah.
Hey, a reminder, we're going to be hanging out with Pete Bowers Saturday, this coming Saturday, St. Patty's Day, 10 a.m. at the WBFH studios inside Bloomfield Hills High School. So if you are a fan of this here broadcast and you want to see, what is this all about? You can stop by, to me. You can meet Pete Bowers, who retired last year after 41 years with the district.
Good dude.
Do some reminiscing. I'm sure a few alums will show up. And you get to rub elbows with Superintendent Rob Glass, Principal Charlie Hollerith.
I've met them both.
And our school board Vice President Paul Colon. And it's going to be a good time.
I think I met him, too.
I think you did, too.
Did we meet all of them at the thing we did for...
We met Charlie. I remember meeting Charlie.
Yep. WAHS, right? Weren't they all there?
WAHS what? We didn't do anything with WAHS at Bloomfield High School.
No, we did it at their high school. Remember?
That was their superintendent. That wasn't any of our people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just remember meeting a superintendent.
Yeah, that was...
Did I ask him if he knew my friend Bob? Every time I meet somebody that works for a school district. Do you know my friend Bob?
Yeah. Speaking of Bob, condolences to him.
Oh, yeah, and his whole family.
Mother passed last week. Mm-hmm. I went to the funeral home.
Well attended?
Yeah, there were people there.
Wow, good.
So it's... a lot of sadness going around here. Let's do our best to kind of... lighten things up.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of which, let's do a story about people who don't like police.
All right.
This comes from KCRA in Oakland, California, radio station out there. A coffee shop in Oakland is refusing to serve law enforcement officers for the, quote, physical and emotional safety of our customers and ourselves. That's according to the Hasta Muerte Coffee Shop. And their social media website.
And where is this again?
Oakland, California. You know, the land of fruits and nuts.
This is funny because wasn't there a California, someplace in California that wouldn't serve people if they reeked of weed?
Yeah.
So now if you reek of weed or you're a cop, you can't be served in California.
Hasta Muerte Coffee, an employee-owned co-op, will not serve officers in uniform and turned away an officer a few weeks ago. As reported by NBC Bay Area. So KCRA apparently is a TV station. I'm sorry. I should know my call letters. The sergeant, who was turned away from the shop a few weeks ago, said he was surprised by employees refusing to serve him, but walked out without any incident or any coffee. Because, you know, cops...
They like their coffee.
They like their coffee, but they're also trained to keep the peace, so he's not going to create a scene. He just turned and walked away.
I like coffee. I should have been a cop.
Coffee shop workers did not respond to requests for comment on the policy, but a post on their Instagram account showed a photo with writing in Spanish that says, "Talk to your neighbors, not the police." The writing below the photo describes an exchange with a uniformed police officer on Feb 16th, and the post clearly states, quote, "We have a policy of asking police to leave for the physical and emotional safety of our customers and ourselves," unquote. The post includes another picture of Facebook post in which people object to the shop's policy because they refuse to serve a sergeant in uniform who is also the president of the Latino Police Officers Association of Alameda County. On top of the post, the shop wrote the words, "Not my president."
What?
Whoa. So let me ask you something. It's okay for this coffee shop not to serve police officers.
Apparently.
But... if a couple of homosexuals came in there and wanted a cake done and I refused to bake their cake, then that's their civil rights are being violated.
It depends on what part of the country you're in, I think.
Well, if I'm in Oakland.
I don't know.
See?
But you better not be wearing a Rams jersey, you know,
that's
Oakland.
That's true. It's really sad how things are going.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you should serve all people, regardless of race, creed,
what would they
religion.
Be doing if somebody broke out in a fight in there?
Yeah.
Who do you think they call them?
Well, they're going to call their neighbors, apparently.
Yeah, we're going to call their neighbors and talk to them about it.
Hey, customer, can you put down that coffee and help me here? My life's being threatened. Well, this is just lunacy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, stupid lunacy stuff. So, well, I'm not going to be shopping at Hasta Muerte Coffee.
Cause, no?
Because I'm never going to go to California, so.
Okay. I'd go back there.
That's just sad. All right, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Here's another story.
Okay.
The hottest social media, or not the media scene, but the hottest social scene in town isn't the singles bar there, Chuck.
No?
Guess where it is, Hazard?
Myers.
You're absolutely right. Not Myers for sake, but it's the grocery supermarket. The supermarket is the new in-place for socializing.
Oh, they've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Can I get a permit for my soapbox here, Hazard?
Hang on.
Did you say hang on or go ahead?
I want to go get a soapbox for you.
Oh, okay.
All right, there's your soapbox.
When you're socializing at the grocery store, when you're walking down the aisle and your neighbor, your cousin, your friend, whoever it is that you're about to talk to, don't stop in the middle of the aisle.
Right.
Pull over to one side or the other. Put your carts, you know, nose to nose, back to back, whatever, and talk, but don't stop the progress of those of us who are unsocial.
There you go.
There. Go ahead.
When Bob Schneider goes out on a Friday night, he no longer heads to the local singles bar. Instead, he goes to the grocery store.
Oh, that's just ridiculous.
Mr. Schneider, a 67-year-old, semi-retired, twice-divorced lobbyist in Oak Brook, Illinois, says, I once dated a woman from the potato section at Mariano's. The next thing you know, we're at the wine bar, and then we're dating. Supermarkets.
So there's a 67-year-old dude going to the grocery store on Friday night to meet women, which Friday night for him is probably 4 o'clock.
Supermarkets, those havens of the not-so-scintillating chore of scouring numbered aisles, pushing carts, and perusing produce, are finding a new identity as a social hub in communities. Parents now bring their children here to play. Retires gather for bingo and singles find romance.
Don't bring your children to the grocery store to play.
Grocery stores are fulfilling the new role as traditional gathering spots, from shopping malls to social clubs like Lions Clubs and Rotary International, continue to shrink from decades earlier peaks. Malls in particular are in danger of extinction. They want to make Lakeside Mall out there in Macomb County a mixed-use residential place.
See, I'm thinking that idea I had about a year or two ago to create grocery stores for single people might not be a bad idea.
I think it's a good idea.
Where you can buy half of everything. You can buy a half pound of meat. You can buy.
Well, you can do that now. You can do that now. You can go to the counter and get that. But remember the new story about Facebook losing 24% of their...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because they're shopping.
Well, because people want to go out to the grocery store.
And Hazard goes to 6 or 7 grocery stores every week.
Sometimes in a single night.
Yeah. I went to 2 last week on the same night.
Yeah. So people are looking for places to interact. They're going to put down the social media. Well, Hazard's not going to, but...
No,
some
never.
Some people will put down their social media and they'll actually go out, go see a play.
I might.
Go to a concert? You two still go to concerts.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there's a microphone. You might want to pull it up, too.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. let's see. Credit Suisse has projected that up to 25% of malls will close over the next 5 years as the internet continues to reshape the way Americans shop. So you don't need to go to the store to shop. So you're going to go to the store to mingle.
I like to. You know what I was thinking? Remember what? I told you about that gift card I had?
Yeah.
I don't think that I've actually gone to the store and tried something on to purchase it probably in the last 4 years, maybe 5.
Time to get a new habit.
It's that whole retail anxiety thing.
As more shoppers consider alternatives, including online shopping apps and meal kits, grocers are finding ways to avoid a similar fate. Many are reinventing themselves as destination spots. Lori Raines, Nielsen's Group Vice President of Retail Strategy, says getting people into the store is the number one objective. Retailers are also drawn to the higher margins that in-house prepared foods, coffee, and cocktails can offer. So you go have a dinner date at the sample counter at your supermarket.
Oh, that's right up Hazard's alley.
He'd love that.
Hey, you want to meet at Sam's Club and go around and check out the sample aisle?
I love it.
That's cheaper than frozen hot chocolate, Hazard.
Yeah. That is, baby.
By offering space for people to hang out and play, grocery stores are making a calculation that customers will stay, shop longer, and then come back more often. So,
I'll have to tell you about my business plan one day.
Well, tell us now.
Well, in Europe, I know they don't eat as, you know, they don't eat as big of portions as we do.
Right.
And I thought about having like a deli restaurant where come in, have a glass of wine, but then they'd have hors d'oeuvres pretty much set up or small things where, and what you would do is like, it'd be on a toothpick. So at the end of your thing, they'd count how many toothpicks you had, and that's what you'd be billed.
Oh.
What if people threw the toothpicks away? Or threw them on the floor?
Hey,
we're talking about people being honest. Come on now.
Yeah, right. In the restaurant business? You're dreaming.
Oh, my.
But, I mean, you know, sit there and have try some sort of, like, you know, bruschetta. And
blue cheese stuffed olives.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I don't want to be in any partnership with you on that.
Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard. Want to go shopping?
I got to get a scorecard ready.
Hazard, a guess. Yes, Kitty's Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight, and yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left. Make that 20 minutes. So we present a Surefire Network time killer, one that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Jeffrey Hazard, the Earl of Spiffy, Exchequer of Bling, and Little Johnny Jump Up, against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Chuck Riffenberg. Gather around the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something, Hazard.
I was wearing my bling the other day at work, and the brothers were all down with it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Big Daddy, are you ready to hazard a guess?
Oh, I'm always ready.
Always ready to.
I thought you always had the bling on.
I do, but I was wearing it on, I had it out.
Oh, okay.
Rather than underneath my t-shirt. And the brothers were like, on a black t-shirt, you know, that gold was
popping.
It was banging, baby. And they were like, hey, you look good.
Today's subject is candy.
Candy, 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 I can.
You got some Swedish fish?
I want candy. Dump, 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 dump. All right there, Hazard. Look me in the eye, the good eye. Here we go. Three questions. It's going to be quick because we want to play some music.
Gummy bears.
All right. That's question number one. You got it.
Really? All right.
No, I'm kidding. All right. Question number one. Here we go, Hazard. Look me in the eye, the good eye. By the way, my astigmatism flipped 180 degrees. I mentioned
that. I think you told that before, yeah.
Yeah. For new listeners, I'm getting old. All right, Hazard, here we go. Which has more calories? A serving of cotton candy or a can of Coca-Cola? We're talking sugar here.
Which has what?
Which has more calories? A serving of cotton candy or a can of Coca-Cola? I'm thinking 12-ounce can there, Uncle Chuck.
I know, I'm just doing the math.
He's looking at his
I'm
7
preparing
and a half.
For Alan Maestri next week and doing the math.
Yeah. I would say Snickers.
Yeah, right.
That is my answer. No, I'm going to say the can of Coke.
The can of Coke. Uncle Chuck, what say you?
I'm going to say the cotton candy.
You're going to say the cotton candy?
Mm-hmm.
Hazard, what's the answer?
The Snickers bar. No, a can of Coke.
Can of Coke. Surprisingly, for a product made up almost solely of pure sugar, a typical serving size of cotton candy only contains about 30 grams of sugar. That's about 115 calories. This is actually about 9 grams less sugar than a 12-ounce can of Coca-Cola, which is about 39 grams of sugar or 140 calories. Cotton candy, by the way, was originally called fairy floss and was invented in 1897 by William Morrison and John C. Wharton. Candy makers from Nashville, Tennessee, USA. They invented the first cotton candy machine.
Interesting.
Okay. Question number two. What does Pez, as in the candy, stand for? P-E-Z. Ooh. Pez. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere.
I still love Pez dispensers.
A lot of people collect those dispensers.
I wish I still had all my Pez dispensers from days gone by.
A Pez, and you want to know what?
What does P-E-Z, as in the candy, stand
for? So is it an acronym?
I don't know. You have to tell me. P-E-Z. Pez. I can tell you this much. It was invented in Austria in 1927.
That means...
Edward Haas the third was the man.
The inside story is actually zebra food, so it's pretty energized zebra is what it stands for.
Pretty energized zebra.
Pez is...
Pez candy.
Pez. And it came from where?
Austria, 1927, Edward Haas the third, H-A-A-S. I'll tell you this much, it's an abbreviation for something.
Oh, wait, give me the guy's name again?
Edward Haas the third.
Oh, so it stands for like Prince Edward's...
Now that would be an acronym, not an abbreviation.
Yeah.
Don't get lippy with me.
Oh, boy. Was first marketed as a compressed peppermint sweet in Vienna, Austria, in 1927 by Edward Haas III. So what does Pez, as in the candy, stand for? Uh-huh. This one's a toughie.
It's a stumper.
Yeah, it's a stumper.
Wow.
Glad I didn't bet all my money on this one.
Yeah.
Any of you take German in high school?
I took it in college.
Oh. Do you remember some of your German words?
I do.
Pez.
Zupa.
Pretzels.
Pez was first marketed as a compressed peppermint sweet in Vienna, Austria in 1927 by Edward Haas III. There is your clue in that sentence. Pez was first marketed as a compressed peppermint sweet in Vienna, Austria in 1927 by Edward Haas III.
Peppermint.
There's a clue right there in that sentence.
Pez.
What does Pez, is in the candy Pez, stand for?
Spit it out, Hazard.
Come on there, buddy.
I can see it's on the tip of your tongue.
Press.
He just gave it to us. For God's sakes.
Do you know what it is there, Chuck?
I do.
Snickers bar.
No.
Go ahead, Chuck. I defer to you.
Peppermint.
Anyone want to change their answer?
No.
For Pez?
The German word for peppermint. That's right. It has something to do with Pez.
The name Pez is an abbreviation of Pfefferminz, which is German for
Pfefferminz.
Peppermint.
Yeah.
Haas created the peppermints using family-owned baking powders and decided to serve the mints in small, hand-sized containers. He manufactured a small tin to hold the mints, similar to the modern Altoids tins. The first Pez mints dispensers, known as regulars, were similar in shape to a cigarette lighter and dispensed an adult breath mint marketed as an alternative to smoking. So, you know, they had lighters, so what he did is he had little Pez dispensers shaped like lighters.
Interesting.
Good marketing. They were invented by Oscar Uxa. The dispensers. Haas Food Manufacturing Corporation of Vienna was the first to sell Pez products. Okay.
That means Pez were vendable.
Yeah, they were. Okay, so what do we got there?
It's all tied up, one apiece.
Okay, now here we go. This is the one that's expurgifactionable.
All right, here we go. Pay attention, Hazard. Get off the dating site.
Okay. Hazard, when it comes to getting women expurgifacted... The Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago found a very good aphrodisiac. The smell of cucumber mixed with the scent of this well-known licorice candy. What is this candy? When it comes to getting women turned on, The Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago found a very good aphrodisiac. The smell of cucumber mixed with the scent of this well-known licorice candy. What is this candy?
I'm not sure what it is, but I'm pretty sure once Hazard finds out, he's going to get some.
He's going to go shopping to get cucumbers and this candy.
Cucumbers and this candy?
Yes. It's a well-known licorice candy. What is this candy?
Blackjacks.
Blackjacks?
No. Wow.
Let's put it this way. If you can arouse those women, you'll have...
licorice, though?
Yeah. When it comes to getting women turned on, the Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago found a very good aphrodisiac, the smell of cucumber, mixed with the scent of this well-known licorice candy.
Come on, Hazard.
What is this candy?
Today.
Licorice candy.
Hazard.
Comes in a bag.
Yeah. Or a box.
Or a box.
Or a box.
Yeah, yeah. So you didn't know that. Gummy bears.
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears aren't licorice.
Oh.
Think trains.
What?
Yeah. The mascot of this particular candy loved trains.
Oh, Good and Plenty.
Good and Plenty.
Ooh.
Chuck, what say
you? Why don't you just give it to us in a basket, Ron?
Chuck, what say you?
Good and Plenty.
Good and Plenty. There you go. Good and Plenty candy.
Good and Plenty mixed with cucumbers?
Yeah, after studying a group of women back in 2010, Dr. Alan R. Hirsch, MD, a neurologist, psychiatrist, and neurological director of the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation in Chicago, and the author of the book Sensational Sex, get it? Sensational Sex, conducted studies on both men and women to find out what specific scents caused sexual arousal that women in particular became most aroused by, and the combination was
cucumbers and licorice.
And licorice.
Go okay? figure.
Now, continuing on with that, the top scents for men were a combination of lavender and pumpkin pie.
Ugh.
Cinnamon buns were still popular, but not as much so in combination with licorice and donuts. So licorice and donuts for guys. And what came in third, a combination of pumpkin pie and donuts, okay? Top scents for women... was Good and Plenty, a licorice candy, and licorice and cucumber, or a combination of lavender and pumpkin pie. And women do not respond to cologne. They don't respond to the cherry scent, charcoal barbecue smoke, so you don't want to invite a woman out to a barbecue. And so there you go. Interestingly, the study found that women are not turned on by male colognes. So
cover yourself
money.
In cucumber and licorice.
That's right. Go get some Good and Plenty in cucumbers.
My trade secret is bacon bits.
Bacon bits. That's not going to work. All right, Motor City Static Music Time. One final song before we have to leave.
Oh, sure. I pulled this one out today. Haven't heard it in a while. Let's do Snake Bit and Wandering from Jimmy Bones on Motor City Static.
Snake Bit and Wandering, Jimmy Bones here, who happens to be the brother-in-law of Jim Oakes, one of our stable of stars here at WBFH Radio, yeah. All right, that's it. Wrapping it up. Chuck, thank you for your time. Do it next week.
I'll be here. Isn't Alan Maestri going to be here next week?
Yeah, and Eric Lazarzak, hopefully.
I'm going to brush up on my math.
All right.
Because he's a math genius.
Yes, he is.
He'd probably say he wasn't, but he is.
Yes, he is. And Hazard, thank you for your time.
Oh, anytime.
All right. Motor City Static. See you next week.